The following is an Auburn Network production. Live from Auburn, the sports capital of Alabama, this is The Drive. The Drive with Bill Cameron and Dan Peck on ESPN 106.7. And online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502. Or email The Drive at ESPNAU.com.
Hello, everybody. Welcome in. It is the Wednesday edition of The Drive. Bill here. Dan should be on his way. Maybe he's stuck in traffic. Wait a minute. It's summer. Now, he'll be here. You know what it was? He was in the office on campus a little longer than usual. And wait, there he comes in the door now. It usually takes him about an hour and a half to get from campus over here. I don't know where his stops are. But, yeah, he's walking in the door. So Dan is here, and it's Wednesday. That means Jason Caldwell is with us in the studio as well. Jason just saying he's got things going on for sure in 2 weeks and maybe next week. So it may be the last we see of Jason until the end of the month.
Yeah, hopefully I'll be in here next week. It depends on our court system.
It's not
for me, but I got the jury duty summons.
See, I've said this before. I have never gotten a summons. I've never gotten the call to jury duty.
Have you done it before?
I have not done it before.
My wife has served on juries twice and been called another time.
Yeah, no.
I just wonder how, you know, so, it must be random, yeah, or they know.
Correct.
Maybe sometimes they know. Well, don't even send it out to him. He's a public figure. He's in the media or something. I don't know.
That's what I'm hoping. I'm hoping that I walk in and I can say hey to about 20 people and they go, no, we can't use you. And
Dan, have you ever?
Back in the Los Angeles days, I was called in.
And on the OJ trial?
No, it was after both of those, all three of them. No, I was.
Dan's not quite that old.
I spent a I remember it. I know
you do, but you were not in barely 19, in double digits age wise.
No, we don't let 9 year olds serve on juries. So no, but I remember where I was for the chase.
You know, sometimes I think they would do better. But anyway, that's another.
I'm part of just about the youngest group probably that remembers the chase vividly.
Right. Yeah,
the Bronco chase.
You're right.
But no, the I was not on that trial. But no, in Los Angeles, they had a system where you come in for the week, and if you're not called by Friday, and you might be called. You might not have to come in on Monday or Tuesday, but you have a system where you're there for the week. And if your number's called, you go into the courtroom and take part in the jury pool. And if you're not called by Friday, you go home, and that was your that was your week. And I made it all the way to like Friday afternoon, and
without being called, and I just sat there.
Still get paid for your time,
but you just sit there.
But you sit there,
oh,
and you're told to bring electronics. It's like
oh, we can't even bring electronics or a phone.
We can bring them into.
I would go crazy.
No, I'm just telling you.
We were allowed to bring. It was like waiting for a flight, basically. Like you're allowed to bring what you can.
I got an email that you no electronics, no phone, no smartwatch in the building.
Made it all the way to...
I know.
Well, fortunately, they'll at least let you... I guess you can have a regular watch so you can at least know what time it is.
I mean, this is not a smart watch. It's a Fitbit, so right. I'm hoping that'll pass.
I made it all the way to Friday afternoon, and we're watching the clock, and with about a half hour to go, my number's called with a group, and we're brought in, and they start a new trial pretty much right there on the spot.
Oh, man. Yeah,
about probably 45 minutes to go before we could leave, but they bring in a group.
Did it get over?
No, they started a trial that carried over into the subsequent week. So I had a couple more days, and I was selected as an alternate on that jury, which is you participate in everything except
you don't get to vote.
Yeah, you participate in everything except
one of the jury members of the jury couldn't perform their duties.
And there was a day where there was a close call. There was a member of the jury that didn't show up, and we were waiting long enough that the judge seemed a little bit perturbed about it, but she came in apologetic with a medical excuse. So it was. I think all was forgiven, but it was still. I was an alternate for a couple of days, and it was the closest I've come. I haven't served, but I've sort of served.
So
I was an understudy.
So that's what I'm waiting on for next week, and it's supposed to be Monday and Friday is supposed to be it. That's supposed to be 1 week, and we'll see. So hopefully it will pass quicker and I can get done, because it's going to be another busy week. It's going to be a busy weekend.
Oh, yeah.
Heck, it's busy starting again tomorrow with camps going on. Official visits going through next week. I would have a lot of work to be doing if I wasn't sitting there waiting. So hopefully I can get it done and be done.
Yeah, hopefully that is. Yeah, you can't exactly pick your off time or your time to be able to do something like that. But that's what I was saying. I'm just surprised that, you know, I've been here for a long time.
Yeah,
and never have gotten one. So
maybe they know. Maybe you're on the do not call list.
I may be. Maybe that's like, no, we don't want that guy.
They don't want the hangman. Bill Cameron, they know the guilty verdict's coming in.
Oh, man.
If Bill's on the jury.
That's me right now. I'm already. Let's go. Done.
Yeah. Jason's trying to figure whatever it takes.
Lock him or her up is the verdict from the two of you.
Throw away the key. All right. Hour number one of the drive just getting underway.
We may have just gotten you out of jury duty.
We're working on it. We'll see what happens. He's got things to do. Let's see. Hour number one of the drive. Brought to you by our friends at Kia of Auburn on South College and KiaofAuburn.com. Kia of Auburn, where you're always number one. They're also the sponsor of our hotline. One of the ways you can get through to us by calling 334-321-1390.
You can also text the show 334-564-1840 on the Drive text box presented by our friends at Southeastern Industrial Contractors. They also sponsor the podcast. About the podcast.
Yes, about the podcast.
About the podcast. We are working on fixing the Apple and Spotify connections. Right now, we are updating something behind the scenes, and we're getting and we believe that, I guess the stance is that we've done our part at the station. We're waiting for
approval or verification.
Yeah, we're waiting
from Apple and Spotify. So it's like it's. As soon as that is the case, the podcasts are uploaded and they're on the website.
Yeah, you can get them on ESPNAU.com and you can get them on Google right now. If you use the Google podcasting system, they have a way to get it through your browser or through an app as well if you use Android. But for folks using the Apple app, the podcasting app on your iPhone, or using Spotify, yeah, you haven't gotten the podcast in about a week. And we're working on fixing that, and we believe a solution is coming soon. But in the meantime, there are other ways to get the podcast. Like Bill said, they're on the website, ESPNAU.com, all presented by Southeastern Industrial Contractors.
Yeah, so we apologize for that inconvenience, but yeah, it'll be there as soon as they give it a go. All right, Jason Caldwell with us here for the during the first hour. You're around for the first three segments or so?
I'm good till five.
Oh, good, so good. Okay, so Jason with us for hour number one. We'd love for you to be able to join in if you have any questions for Jason about anything. As we get going, as you said, I mean, it's a busy time as far as football camps and recruiting. Let's go ahead and wrap up baseball. A disappointing end to the season this past weekend in front of lively crowds over at Plainsman Park.
Yeah, it was everything you could ask for except for swinging the bats. That was it. I mean, it was, and it just happens. It does.
Baseball's a game of streaks and slumps.
And here's the thing about baseball. Baseball is also not designed to be one game situation. Until you get to game seven, it makes it really difficult, because one game throws you for a loop. I mean, you know, you think about going best two out of three against the same team. That's how, in a short term, college baseball is designed. And I do think we're heading towards it pretty quickly, I believe, to where there's going to be 64 teams and you're going to have 32 series and then 16 series.
Ooh, I hadn't heard that.
I think it start a week, get just one extra week, and go everybody two out of three.
Well, let's
travel at home.
While we're doing that, let's cut down on the length of conference tournaments.
Yeah, and if you do that and you're able to tweak the schedule a little bit, do some things, I think it would make for a really intriguing thing. And then you get a chance to get some host teams up in the Northeast. They get a chance to host the first round, and so I think it helps broaden the horizon. I think that'll happen down the road.
Do you think there'd be 32 host?
Yeah, I think
sites in the first round.
You go two.
I wonder if they have
32 different
play a
spots.
Series.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. I guess the travel concerns are the reason they wouldn't do that now, right? Is you know, because
Because right now
it's an effective way to get from 64 to 16.
It is.
Cutting back on travel a little bit. Well, but I mean,
but
I think,
no, that,
I think your system's
I think it's
one.
Just an excuse. I really do. Because travel only matters for certain teams. Mm-hmm. It doesn't matter for all of them. It only matters for the first and second seed. Then after that, they send people wherever they want to. So it doesn't really matter most of the time. Now, they did it. They sent people close, which I actually don't like. I talked about it last week. Florida A&M going to Florida, I don't like. I don't like Samford at Auburn. I don't like Troy at Alabama. I don't like Tulane at LSU. It kind of feels like, to me, like we talked about, it kind of feels like being a 16 seed and going, hey, you got to play another 16 seed to see if you really get in the tournament.
Which I can't stand. But they reimburse, right? The NCAA reimburses for travel, I feel like,
in
the postseason.
They'll pay for travel. So if you're certain miles away, then they'll pay for a charter, do those things.
So some of that might be they're trying to cut back. Keeping teams regional, to save on it. And I guess the excuse, as I think we said last week, the excuse you can also use is we're allowing their fans, it's easier for their fans to go to these things. Samford fans and Southern Miss fans, it was easier for them to go to Auburn than send them to.
I don't know that Samford got the memo.
Didn't see a ton of.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, there were more Penn fans than Southern.
Saw some Samford fans around town Saturday because they'd won on Friday.
There were a few here.
There were more Penn fans
than Samford fans. I was shocked. With Samford in the winner's bracket on Saturday night, I thought, man, there's going to be a pretty good Samford crowd. And I pulled up because I had some tickets, and I was looking for somebody that used to work at Auburn that works at Samford now. And I was going to give him some tickets. And less than an hour before the game, I pulled up and parked on the front row across the street from Plainsman Park.
I couldn't find anybody to give tickets to.
And so, I was shocked. Now, Southern Miss. Tennessee's
for sure.
In for a wild.
They were out in full force. I mean, they had a great time, and good for them. I mean, that's going to be a fun –
Tennessee-Southern Miss one, Tennessee's pitching staff is so good. I would say there'd be a lot of home runs hit, but the Southern Miss pitching staff, especially Tanner Hall, the way he throws is going to make it really difficult for Tennessee. I think it's going to be a 3-game series.
I do too. Now, to the weekend itself and for Auburn, it was crazy. Friday night, I never was concerned until the 11th inning. Yeah. I mean, it was one of those where you felt like, okay, it's just waiting.
One swing. It was.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
It was. You're like they're one swing away.
Yep.
And it never happened.
Yep.
Chris Stanfield had a great swing with the bases loaded.
He had a couple of great swings during that game.
He hit the ball so hard for two games and never got rewarded for it. He did have an RBI base hit in the second game, but he hit the ball really. And it's just the way it works sometimes. But the best swings of the weekend came from the true freshman. Him and Ike Irish had the best swings of the weekend. It just so happened that the other part of it is that they ran into a bunch of pitchers that were off speed, change up, and did a really good job of keeping Auburn off balanced, and I think got frustrated a little bit.
I think Penn also. I mean, Penn played so smart. They played so solid and smart. You know, just before, and Tex was talking about this the other day with us, but I noticed it too. I mean, just before Chris stepped into the batter's box, they moved the right field over to his right about 6 or 8 feet.
Yeah.
Or I don't think he gets to that ball.
Yeah, and so
I mean, they made all the plays they needed to, but they played so sound fundamentally.
They did, and I do think, in just my opinion.
Not that Auburn didn't. I mean,
correct. I think had Southern Miss beaten Samford, then it would have been a different feel. I think it's just natural to think, oh,
relax a little bit.
Man, we got this thing now. We're good.
Mm-hmm.
And because they played so well, they had a lot of confidence. It's just sometimes that's a natural reaction. Didn't work out for them. And I wrote this on Monday too. It just shows you more and more evidence that there's no certain way that it works. You look in SEC, people say, well, you need to get out of the SEC tournament early. Well, sometimes that works. Or you need to make a run in the SEC tournament. Well, sometimes that works. But it doesn't work all the time either way. It didn't even work. South Carolina was 5-13 their last 18 games. didn't make that a regional.
And rolled through there.
Clemson won 27 of their last 30 games before losing their last two. Yeah. They were 27-3.
They moved their way up the rankings from the bubble of the top seeds to what they were the 5 seed going into this tournament. I mean, Clemson was one of the hottest teams in the country.
They were the four seed
going into the tournament. Briefly, I mean, Jason, you could I guess spend as much time on this as you want, but who has a decision to make on this team? Who is Auburn sort of waiting to hear from? Look towards the future a little bit. You know, what are the expected decisions, or what are you waiting to see?
Yeah, I wrote a little bit about it today, just kind of touching on it some. There's some obvious guys that won't be back. Kaysen Howell doesn't have any eligibility. Tommy Sheehan, Tommy Vail doesn't have any eligibility. Cole Foster won't be back because he's going to be a guy that's going to be drafted really high.
He's going to make too much money.
Yeah, he's going to be drafted really high. Bryson Ware has put himself in that position as well. What a season. Because of his versatility, too. I mean, this guy that could probably – he could probably play everywhere but catcher. I think he could play any of the other 8 positions. You wouldn't want to waste him at first base because he's too athletic, but he could probably play anywhere else.
Mm-hmm. And the bat plays as a short or a second or a center fielder.
It showed up this year, a guy that, you know. But you look, here's the interesting thing. Because of COVID, there's still guys that have eligibility. Bryson Ware still has eligibility. Right. Bobby Pierce still has eligibility if he can get another year back, which I think he probably could because of the double surgery that he had. But I mean, Chase Isbell has another year. A lot of those guys. So you look at that and going, how does it – you know, Nate LaRue has another year. There's guys you look at and go, how does it factor in depending on what happens with the draft? A 20-round draft. It's been more college-heavy the last few years. for a guy like Bobby Pierce, what does it look like for a guy that's 22, 23 years old, has had injuries. Does somebody go, hey, we're going to give you money anyway? Or do you go, you know what, I'm going to go back and play another year and get some NIL money and hang on? Those are decisions that will have to be made. But I do feel like, you know, you start looking. The most interesting one to me right now is Joseph Gonzalez. Joseph has 2 years left because this would have been a redshirt year after only throwing 5 innings. Got 2 years left. Probably not going to get the money you thought you were going to get.
Oh, no, not now, heading into the season as a projected ace.
But you come back, you might could be a guy that's a million, 1.5 guy if you come back and have that year next year, and you still got bargaining power because you still have another year. So you look at him and Cooper McMurray, who has a couple of years left. Those are the guys that might have a little bit more of a question. Cooper's a guy that probably needs to come back and do it another year probably in this league. But there's going to be some of those guys that have a chance. So I look at probably Joseph Gonzalez as one of the bigger question marks, you know, of this group. And then from a draft standpoint, they've got a couple of shortstops that are guys that have the potential to be drafted in the first round. Colt Emerson, Kevin McGonigal are two guys that the last time I saw Baseball America had 126 and 127 in the top 30. You never know how that factors into draft because – maybe because, you know, for people that don't know, it's so much different than basketball and baseball because draft, they'll go, hey, here's our number. Here's what we want in terms of signing bonus. If you don't reach it, then we're prepared to go to school. So a lot of times a guy like Ike Irish is a guy that if he had said, I definitely want to go play pro ball, he would have been drafted really high. But he said, hey, here's the number I have to go play pro ball. If I don't get it, I'm going to school. Once they pass that number, then teams don't draft him anymore. They go on because you can't waste picks in a 20-round draft. I mean, Mike Piazza was
– no, that's right. What, he was 60-second.
60-something rounds. Now you don't have that many options. And so but you look at Colt Emerson, Kevin McGonigal.
There's still a logjam of upperclassmen, too, right, because of COVID. So you've got older
hitters – and now transfer portal. So the month of December, we talked about in football, the month of December and how crazy it is. That's now the month of June for baseball because of the portal, draft coming up. You're having to talk to your current roster to make sure those guys are good, who's coming back, who's leaving, all those things. It's thrown everything into a big, huge pot, and you got to go figure it out. All the while, you only have 11.7 scholarships.
Jason Caldwell with us for hour number one. We're just underway. Love for you to join in. Again, the Kia of Auburn hotline, 334-321-1390 as we continue with the Wednesday Drive.
The Drive continues. The Drive with Bill Cameron and Dan Peck on ESPN 106.7. Online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502. Or email The Drive at ESPNAU.com.
Welcome back into The Drive here on this Wednesday afternoon. Bill, Dan, Jason Caldwell here in the studio, and we'd love for you to join in. We're talking about a couple of things during the break. One, and we can get into NIL, I mean, with a contingent that includes SEC Commissioner Greg Sankey in Alabama. Alabama's Nick Saban up in Washington trying to get some control over NIL. Good luck with that. But that you said, Jason, yeah, it's sort of reminds you of what's gone on here. All of a sudden, with professional golf,
I'm telling you, I could have been blown over with a feather yesterday morning, and I can't even imagine what a guy like Rory McIlroy thought.
Oh,
I can't even imagine him waking up and going, "What are we talking about?" I mean, he's been the face of the tour. He's been the guy that has been, "Hey, we're going to put you out front and let you be our spokesman to talk about why the PGA Tour." And then to not even give those guys a heads up at all?
Apparently he had a little of a heads up. I heard an interview with him where he said he knew that there were some talks going on, and he got called night before last that there could be something coming. So he had a little bit more notice, but still.
Yeah.
The fellow, Monahan, is that the
– Jay Monahan.
Okay. Yeah, Jay.
Do you think he should be out as part of this merger now that if the PGA Tour is going to change – direction so abruptly, should the previous leadership stick around as part of that change?
It's tough. Here's the thing. In the end, when the players have a chance to digest it, and if they say, hey, you know what, this is the best thing for golf moving forward because it unifies golf once again, and they're okay, then I think he stays. If, and that's the big question, if Rory McIlroy and Justin Thomas and these guys go, you know what, we, Scottie Scheffler, we turned down $200 million for this.
Yeah.
And now
you lied to us.
You
told us we're not, you know, we're not in it. We're not going after the big money, and you just did.
Yeah. Bill, did you hear about the players-only meeting?
Yes.
Where apparently there were multiple times where players – angrily sort of dressed him down and got standing ovations for it, way it was reported. I just wonder how he leads credibly.
Correct.
That's going to be tough.
Somebody had the kind of comparison and said it would be like Roger Goodell walking in and going, hey, by the way, we just joined forces with the USFL and – here you go. And like somebody said, he would be fired on the spot.
And Vince McMahon is the new chief executive.
Right. I want to see what it's like when people have a chance to have a week to think about it. Next week of the U.S. Open will be really, really interesting.
How about the timing there? Now, Rory thinks the LIV's going away. Like that was sort of his comments earlier today. He thinks this ends the LIV Tour next year.
Here's what I think:
and those players are going to try to come back.
I think what happens is there'll still be some LIV events.
I agree. I think there'll be some special events.
Yeah. There'll be some LIV events that will incorporate PGA Tour players, and then they will be back on the tour. Here's what I don't understand: what are you going to penalize somebody for coming back to the tour when you just joined forces with you? That's not going to fly.
I could see Warner Brothers Discovery with their cable networks. You know, they already do the match, those events with the celebrity golfers and the athletes who come and golf and stuff like that. I could see a future where LIV Tour events are sort of packaged like big celebrity events for one of the networks. I know LIV had a problem getting TV coverage before. You know, it was CW was the one broadcast willing to get in there. But yeah, it's I don't know. Rory's remarks earlier today, Jason, I thought were kind of surprising. As far as I had not considered that the LIV Tour was is pretty much on the way out here. But love to get your thoughts there as far as
how it
all shook out.
What it does right now is, as somebody who watches a lot of golf, it almost makes me, because when it first happened, I was like, I'm not watching LIV, and now it almost makes me not want to watch any of it, to be quite honest, for a little bit.
For a while.
And I'm sure I'll, and when they start next week, when they play in LA Country Club, a place I've always wanted to kind of watch a tournament from, I'm sure I'll watch again. But I also, I'm not looking forward to Brooks Koepka and Phil Mickelson standing up there and just trashing, and I'm sure they will. I guess they will. They might not.
What's the one they do? The Hyundai. They do the
Genesis.
That is
at Riviera.
Yeah. So I've walked through that course before, which is lovely. I've not.
Yeah.
This is driven by LA Country Club.
This is the course next week for U.S. Open that most players say is on their bucket list of courses to play, LA North, and they'll now have a chance to play a major there.
Jason with us for the entire hour. Love for you to join in. 334-321-1390. We need to get to our bottom of the hour break. Stick with us here on the Wednesday Drive.
Time to churn up some more yardage on The Drive. The Drive with Bill Cameron and Dan Peck on ESPN 106.7 and online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502 or email The Drive at ESPNAU.com.
Welcome back into The Drive, 25 minutes away from 5 o'clock here on this Wednesday afternoon. Hope everybody doing well. Let's get to the Kia of Auburn hotline. I believe it's Jerry up first. Hey, Jerry.
Hey, guys.
Oh, hey. Is it Jeremy?
No, it's Garrett.
Garrett. Oh, okay.
We're getting right eventually. We're good.
No worries. I heard you guys talking about the LIV Golf PGA thing. I don't know if y'all covered this part of it or not, but obviously, the LIV Golf guys are probably laughing all the way to the bank right now. But it'll be interesting to see how those existing LIV contracts are handled with the merger back with PGA, if they're paid or if there was kind of an escape clause for LIV. Should there be a merger or an acquisition? And then it'll also be interesting to see how many of the PGA Tour guys that turned down LIV offers for fear of repercussions from the PGA Tour. It'd be interesting to see if any of the top guys actually sue the tour.
Yeah, that's part of this. You're right. It's another look at this antitrust from one side. Well, now you're looking at it from another side, going, "Hey, you basically forbid me of making that money, mm-hmm. and now I could have done that and made that money." That's the part I was wondering about. Got like. You know, they said reportedly Tiger Woods was offered $850 million. Now, Tiger Woods doesn't need any money, but you still go, hey, I could probably use an extra $850 million.
Yeah.
You'd be hard-pressed to find a rich person that doesn't want more money.
Correct. So. there's so much.
I'm not rich, and I wouldn't mind a little more.
There's so much of this, though, that is still unknown that we don't know and how it's going to work. And the schedule, they just came out with a new schedule. Now you're going to have a new schedule. It's pretty wild.
Yeah, and I heard you guys talking about the U.S. Open next week. The commissioner, or whatever his title is, of the PGA, he better wear some comfortable clothing because he's going to be under some heat in that press conference.
Yes, he is. That's what I said. That's the one day that it's going to be like watching a car crash. Then you're like, I don't really want to watch it, but you can't turn away. That's probably what we're going to see when those press conferences happen.
Yeah, you almost have to think he has to get in front of the podium. But it would be interesting to see, should he elect not to comment. I wonder if his comments will weigh into whether or not he has a job next year.
Yeah, it could. I tell you what, if he doesn't talk, then I pretty much guarantee that he wouldn't have one, in my opinion.
Jason's right. I mean, the timing with the U.S. Open next week, is that right?
Yes.
Yep.
Yeah, with the U.S. Open next week, I think that everyone's going to be expected to have some opinion at the ready, and some folks will say, you know, be patient. I think the most outspoken players, like Rory, are the ones that, you know, there's the most pressure on to see what they're going to do. But I sort of wonder if, you know, current PGA leadership will ultimately be the ones who, and I'm sure they'll get paid on the way out, but I wonder if they're the ones who, if there's a change, it might be coming there with the, and that might have happened anyway, with a new company being formed, with new decision makers at the top. But now it feels like there's also like a lack of confidence from the players at large towards the people who were in charge of the PGA Tour for a long time.
Yeah, no doubt. I think a lot of the players will kind of be given a little bit of grace with maybe passing the question for the sake of, concentrating on the tournament at hand. But, the commissioner's comments will be very interesting if he has much to say at all. Thanks, guys.
Appreciate the call, Garrett. 334-321-1390 while we're getting the next caller. Had a text just wondering about the transfer portal and baseball. You were talking about how it is like December was in football with baseball and the transfer portal. Yeah. What areas, might Auburn be looking at? We were talking about some of the guys that, have decisions to make or wouldn't be back.
Yeah, I think you look at it when you start talking about position-wise. Obviously, pitching is going to be paramount. It always is. And so I think finding a couple of arms that have starting experience could be potential weekend guys or be in the mix to be a weekend guy. Just to give you more options would be probably a big part of that. And then power bats. I mean, it's just what it is. You got to find power bats and guys that have the potential to do some of those things. And so, you're looking, you're losing, outfield spots with, you got Chris Stanfield back in center field, which is huge. But, depending on what happens with Bobby Pierce, you get losing a guy like that.
Think Ike's a catcher?
Yeah, I think Ike. Yeah, Ike, and you got Carter Wright back too. And so you got Ike to be, I think we'll have his opportunity to be the everyday catcher and Carter Wright help out some. And I thought Ike, here's the thing about Ike this year. Had you not had a guy that was such a veteran presence and handled pitchers so well, Ike did a really good job when he was back there. They just didn't want him to be, every day as a
wear out a freshman.
Day as a true freshman and do that job and getting used to the Southeastern Conference. So, I think he'll have his chance to kind of get back to his natural position next year. So, I think you're looking at a couple of bats, a couple of arms. And here it is, quite honestly, just like in every other sport right now, it's almost like the NFL draft where you go, I don't know if it's that if this guy can make us better, and then you take them and figure out where they go after that. And so that's almost where it is. Go just got to try to improve your roster, and that's the goal right now.
334-321-1390. And now I think we have Jerry. Hey, Jerry.
Hey, guys. Just a quick question. Just wanted to see if there's any news about football recruiting. And I'll hang up and listen.
All right. Yeah, well, yeah. Jason was saying it's going to be a busy time. It is a busy time right now.
Yeah, really busy time. Obviously, they just added the junior college corner commitment over the weekend.
And he's for this year.
And so he'll be a guy that'll be on campus now and rolling. And then, they had official visits over the weekend. They'll have a group of official visitors starting Friday, I think Friday to Sunday. Another group coming in Monday to Wednesday of next week, and you're talking about almost a dozen guys coming in, including five-star wide receiver Cam Coleman would be one of those guys. Just had a couple of five-stars in over the weekend, and Jalen Mbakwe, this committed to Alabama, but a kid from Clay Chalkville, a defensive back, one of the fastest players in the country, was in over the weekend. And then Jamonte Waller, who I think is one of the best players in the country. Pass rusher, 6'2", not the big, long pass rush guy, but he just mauls
explosive
people. Yes, he's really good. And so had those guys on campus. You got, visits coming up. Christian wrote about today, one of the number one interior offensive lineman in the country will be visiting in a week. He'll be here. And so will Perry Thompson, wide receiver from Foley, who's committed to Alabama as well, five-star wide receiver from down in Foley. So, it's going to be loaded. 7-on-7 camp tomorrow and an O-line, D-line camp going on at the same time. So, you're talking about probably several hundred players that'll be on campus tomorrow.
I wanted to ask you a question. We've been kicking around with the 8-game schedule while you're here, because I'd love your perspective. So, assuming that the Alabama and Georgia games are written in pen for Auburn's 2024 schedule, Auburn's going to those two schools. There's six other games the SEC could give Auburn. Sounds like they're going to tear the schedules up and start anew. Are there any games you think need to be on Auburn's schedule aside from the Alabama game and the Georgia game? Or are there any games you feel like are you know, games where it's really important to continue the rivalry?
Yeah, I honestly don't. And LSU is one that you'd like to keep, but I don't know. I mean,
I would say the only thing that I feel Auburn and every team should have either Texas or Oklahoma on their schedule. I saw a projection from one of your guys. Somebody at 24/7 projected Georgia not to play either Texas or Oklahoma in 2024. They need.
And the way you.
They need seven games other than themselves each. There are 14 other teams in the league. How can you not have either Texas or Oklahoma on every single team?
And it could be tempting to give Arkansas or Texas A&M both Texas and Oklahoma, and the trade off would be.
And somebody will have both of them. I mean, that's just the way it is.
Eventually, but yes. In 2024, I think the way
they should do it in 2024, I agree with Bill. We kicked that out there that if you're going to keep the divisions, just pretend you're adding Texas to one of them and Oklahoma to the other one and handle it that way.
I don't see how you're going to keep divisions.
Well, they're not. Sankey's already said they're not going to keep divisions.
But I would love to see a scenario where Texas plays seven teams, Oklahoma plays the other seven teams.
And then everybody in the SEC gets to welcome those two schools in.
And then Texas and Oklahoma play each other, and that's the eighth game for both teams. I think you could do it that way. And maybe don't stick to divisions. Like, you don't have to make Texas against the former East teams and Oklahoma against the former West teams.
No, it doesn't. Mix them up some. I still think, with the commissioner saying – balance was the first thing he said was balance. Yeah, we'll see how balanced it is. But then he also said keeping as many rivalries intact. So I think it's still going to sort of look like divisions with a couple of changes for most.
You know what? I think the third most important game would be after at Alabama and at Georgia for Auburn's 2024 schedule is that I think either Texas or Oklahoma need to come to Auburn.
Yeah, since you're at Georgia and Alabama.
I think either one of those two teams, new arrivals to the SEC, needs to play at Auburn.
Oh, that would help your season ticket.
To help sell tickets, and because you're already playing at Georgia and at Alabama, so give Auburn a heavyweight.
If you're going to balance it, then you're going to be playing some teams near the bottom,
heavyweight, at Jordan-Hare in 2024. I want either Texas or Oklahoma at Auburn.
Here's the other part of that. Why do you have to play at Georgia and Alabama both again?
Well, are you going to tell Georgia or Alabama they're going to play at Auburn two straight years?
No, see, Georgia's already done that.
I know
Georgia did.
Georgia has. That's why you can't. I don't think you can tell Georgia once again you're going to play at Auburn back to back years.
Auburn would have to probably make another trip somewhere along the line, and that's the hard part is that somewhere along the line. Here's what I can't stand it. I can't stand the thought of, well, we're going to do this for a year and then revisit it. Just make a decision. I don't know why you're like blowing everything up for 1 year. You're not going to please everybody. You're not going to make everybody happy. Make a decision to move on. And I know the TV deals and all these things are there. You know what? They're going to pay for it.
But the commissioner can't say unilaterally if they don't vote for it. He can't say, we're going to do this, even though it's 7-7 or 6-8.
Oh, yeah, I know. But
that's what he wants to do. He wants to go to nine games.
You're the commissioner. You make guys understand, look, we got to make a decision.
Or maybe they should have said, oh, we are going to let Texas and Oklahoma vote because they would have voted for nine games.
Do you think there's a chance Auburn's one of the programs where an extra $5 or $10 million from ESPN would change their mind about going from eight games to nine games?
I don't think Auburn's got a huge problem with nine games.
But it sounds like there are teams in the conference where that money from ESPN was at least part of the decision making in their vote. I wonder who's waiting on, because I agree. I think the money would come eventually.
I think you'll find a striking similarity in that list and the list that is concerned about getting 6 wins.
To get back, I don't think they're touching at Alabama or at Georgia as far as the rotation.
They're probably not because you're flipping it back. I just can't stand the thought of, well, we're going to do this for a year and then look at it again. That drives me crazy. It really does.
I really feel like the object of this is to tick off enough people that they go ahead and say, change it drastically. I think there'll be some little changes, and it's not going to sit well with some people who expected there to be this, oh, wow, we're going to get to see a lot of teams we don't see.
Yeah, and you're right now. So here's what you have to do then. So you're doing this for another year with two extra teams, and then you're going to start over. You're going to have people that might have to play the same team again on the road the next year.
Oh, that's right.
Now, yeah. I do wonder if in 24 they're not going to send anyone to the same place they played in 2023.
I would think they won't.
The schedule they unveiled next week, I wonder if they're going to make anyone go to the same place 2 years in a row. In 25, if they introduce a new four-year rotation, maybe that rotation starts with a return visit.
I just don't see how you're not going to have somebody overlapping somewhere. There's just going to be too many different games.
I would hope that doesn't happen in 24, though. Like, I would, if they can control it.
I can do it. Let me work on it for a while.
We've talked about Vanderbilt as a home opponent for Auburn in 24. They're already a home opponent in 23.
Here's the thing. So when you look at it, you start talking about this schedule. So it's going to remain the same. So it's going to be two and rotate six. Is that what they're saying?
No, you can't do two and six. Got to be 1 and 7 if you're going to keep 8. So it's got to be. See, that's the thing. I think it's a year for people to go, wait a minute. No. We can't. You know, we can't lose some of these.
And that's it. And so you start talking about going, if you just have one, then you're eliminating a ton.
That's right.
A ton of rivalries that then are going to play every couple
of
years.
It's got to be 3-6.
It has to.
I mean, we all know that. And I think everyone in the conference knows that. It's just they want the assurances of that extra money if they're going to have the possibility of another loss.
Auburn's at Vanderbilt this season in football. So I guess Vandy could come to Auburn.
They could. It could be a three-year deal, home away home.
If you wanted to do something like that, depending on what you decide to do in 25. But that's I don't think they'll be as reluctant to have rematches. I don't think they're going to want to send anybody to the same place.
I don't think they will with that
2024 schedule they're making up.
All right, we'll get to our final break of hour number one. Come on in and join us here on the Wednesday Drive.
Now, more of the Drive. The Drive with Bill Cameron and Dan Peck on ESPN 106.7 and online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390, toll free at 888-382-7502, or email The Drive at ESPNAU.com.
Welcome back in. Final few minutes of hour number one of The Drive, and let's get right back to the Kia of Auburn hotline, and Terry is up next. Hey, Terry.
Hey, good afternoon, guys. I got a question for Jason.
All right,
Jason. Because Auburn was so active in the transfer portal and everything, I kind of lost track of some things. So a few players, I was curious about where they ended up or whatever became of them because I don't know. I just lost track. The defensive end out of James Madison, the big offensive lineman out of Judah was like 6'9".
Who ended up at Ole Miss?
Transferred
to Ole Miss.
Who was the next one?
Okay. The big offensive lineman, he's like 6'9".
Oh, the junior college kid?
Yeah, junior college guy.
Still nothing as far as
I know.
Well,
you know what? I think he's done.
He's gone back to junior college.
Yeah. He's opted not to come out early.
Wow. And the defensive back that committed to Auburn that really didn't have an offer, the guy, I think he's out of New Mexico or something?
He never was a guy they
looked at, but he never had an offer or any of those things. So.
It felt like maybe some wires got crossed as far as Auburn's interest in him versus Auburn offering him.
Sometimes, especially in this era, things can happen so quickly. The one thing that coaches want to do sometimes is, hey, I just want to get a look at a guy physically in person to see if it matches what I see on film. And sometimes it doesn't. And especially in the case of a guy like a defensive back, if a guy's listed at 5'10", 170, shows up and he's 5'8", 155, then all of a sudden it might change things a little bit. And so that's some of the things that happen.
Cyrus Dumas.
Well, now, who was the wide receiver out of high school whose dad played at Auburn? I can't remember.
You're talking about Ryan Williams' son.
Okay, Ryan, that's it. Okay.
Yeah. Ryan Williams was a defensive back on the 2007 Auburn Tigers, whose son is now, Jason, you can...
2025,
yep. Number one player in the state, I believe.
Oh, yeah, he's like top five.
He's one of the top players in the nation.
Yeah.
Did he like commitment to Alabama already or something?
Yeah, he's been committed to him.
Does Auburn have a chance to flip him?
They'll have a shot. He's made multiple visits. It's a guy that visited last year for the Penn State game, basically got ignored while he was here. Did get offered the next week, even though Auburn didn't really talk to him while he was on his visit. Went to Alabama a couple weeks later, got offered and committed a couple weeks after that. And so since then, Auburn's been fighting the uphill battle. It's a battle they've had to fight with several guys. I mentioned Jalen Mbakwe the other day. talked to him. He's like, yeah, when I was in the ninth grade, Auburn was the team I favored. When Gus Malzahn was here, Auburn was the team he liked the most. Then kind of soured for the last couple of years. It's what he told us. And now Auburn's trying to get back in the fight with him. And so it takes – recruiting is a – the portal recruiting is a one- or two-day situation. High school recruiting is our 1 or 2 year or even 3 year situation. And so for this coaching staff, there's still some of those battles you got to fight even in 2025.
Jason, man, time has flown. We're just about out of time. Terry, sorry, we're out of time. I got to give Jason time to let everybody know what all's going on. There's plenty that folks can be finding there at Auburn Undercover and AUTigers.com.
Absolutely, yeah, a ton of stuff going on. Like I said, lots of football recruiting. Christian had a really good thing up that people haven't seen it today. And so really confidential side of things from sources says. So check that out. Lots of recruiting stories. We'll have a ton of things going up the next few days with these 7-on-7 camps, with O-line, D-line camp coming up, another Lee camp Friday, official visits and more. So it's not a slow time. So check us out there. And right now, 60% off. For brand new subscribers, which is as good a deal as we give all year. So if you ever thought about subscribing, this is the time to do it there at AuburnUndercover.AUTigers.com.
Great stuff, Jason. Thanks a lot, man. We really appreciate you being here, and best of luck next week.
Absolutely.
We'll get to our top of the hour break. Another hour to go. Come on in and join us here on the Wednesday Drive.
Capital of Alabama. This is The Drive. The Drive with Bill Cameron and Dan Peck on ESPN 106.7. And online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502. Or email The Drive at ESPNAU.com.
Welcome in, hour number two of the Wednesday Drive. Another nice looking, it's warm, but it's June, so it's another nice looking Wednesday afternoon. Bill and Dan, our thanks to Jason Caldwell from 24/7 Sports. Of course, it's AUTigers.com, it has been, but you can find it there at AuburnUndercover.com as well. Great to get a full hour with Jason in. Man, there was so much more I wanted to get to. He wrote a story about a junior college basketball player who visited that Auburn might be interested in if Bruce Pearl wants to add another player. So we can talk about that a little bit here now too. We didn't get a chance to get into that with Jason because he's got so much information. So, our thanks to him for being here. And if you missed it, we would encourage you to check out. There are ways of listening to it, even though, and we've apologized for this, right now the podcasts are not available. They haven't been available for the last few days on Apple or Spotify. But the Google podcasts are there Google Podcasts, or you can go to our website and listen to the shows as well.
Yeah, ESPNAU.com and RadioAlabama.net both have podcast centers. You can use a browser and listen to the podcast that way. Google Podcasts has their service, which you can use with a browser, or if you have an Android device, you can use the Google Podcasting app. But we have the podcast available through those platforms. We're fixing the Apple and Spotify issue, and we hope to have it resolved soon. Apologies again for folks who are inconvenienced by it. I know a couple of you have reached out on social media. I've had some folks reach out to us personally as well. So in the meantime, ESPNAU.com, I would say, would be the easiest way to get the show. That's also how you can listen live online at ESPNAU.com. And we're working on fixing the Apple and Spotify issue. All the podcasts presented by our friends at Southeastern Industrial Contractors, and they have nothing to do with the situation.
Oh, no.
By the way, they're great. And Southeastern Industrial Contractors sponsoring the text box, 334-564-1840, and also the podcasts, which you can get through ESPNAU.com and some of your favorite platforms right now.
So, yes, we'd love for you to join in here on the drive here on this Wednesday. You can text us, as Dan said, there on the drive text box, 334-564-1840. Or you can call us on the Kia of Auburn hotline. Kia of Auburn, where you're always number one. And the number to get you through is 334-321-1390. Here in hour number two of the drive, it is brought to you, as usual, by the good folks at the Orthopedic Clinic, East Alabama's go-to center for orthopedic care, with locations in Auburn and Opelika, on the web at orthoclinic.com.
And I walked in late in hour number one. Did we introduce new Drew?
No, we didn't. Okay. Because we really hadn't been officially introduced. We were talking with Graham, who's got a wrestling shirt on, and Graham, pull the mic over there.
Not
man.
Pro wrestling, it's, not like a Stone Cold Steve Austin
this,
shirt.
This he's a real wrestler.
Yeah, not like
I'm not going to get into that, but I mean, no.
By the way, coincidentally, Iron Sheik passing away.
Yeah, saw that.
The legendary Iron Sheik, famous professional wrestler in his own right. A sad day for the business as a guy who, you know, was part of some very famous moments, but not that kind of wrestling we're discussing.
No, not yet. At least, I mean, he's still an amateur, but no. Graham is running the controls today as Drew. Drew's on his way up to Pittsburgh for about a week, so he will be back, I believe, next
Thursday.
It's court
ordered, right? He has to?
No, I don't think so. Hey, he did make a deal before he left, though.
Oh, is that right?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, how about that? Amazing. You waited until he couldn't talk to me.
As a matter of fact, yes.
That's exactly what happened.
Nah,
oh, you know what? There is another Auburn wrestling story briefly before we get more into Graham. You know what Darian Goburn is up to, right? She is headed to the Auburn gymnast.
Yeah, I know. That's what I was trying to think. I did not know that she was a wrestler, but what's she doing?
Well, she is, in fact, reporting to the WWE Performance Center.
Wow.
To undergo, to go training to learn how to be a WWE superstar.
She is extremely athletic.
WWE has invested heavily in scouting.
A great show person as well.
They've invested heavily in scouting college athletes with large social media followings that maybe don't have a professional career in their sport ahead of them, that could maybe pivot to professional wrestling. The Cavender twins, who we've talked about before, the Miami women's, they were actually on WWE programming earlier this week. As they've begun their training with WWE. So we're seeing more, even in football and men's basketball, but especially in the other sports, in college athletics, that's an outlet possibly for folks who can make themselves into celebrities in college athletics and are looking for somewhere to continue on the stage.
Yeah.
And I think Darian Goburn is something.
I think she's got a chance.
I think she's got a chance. The athleticism is there. The showmanship or show personship is there. The charisma,
the personality charm comes out so much when she's performing. I can see that.
I think this is someone, and she's super young, you know, still with a lot of athleticism left. So that's it's a cool story I saw earlier this week that I think that's actually earlier today that she's confirmed that she's reporting to the WWE Performance Center in Orlando.
So Graham's on the other side of the controls here from us running it, and Graham, there's an example of how quickly we get off the tracks, off the rails, man. It's like we start to introduce him, and next thing we do, you know, we're talking Darian Goburn.
Who's he again?
I believe. I think it was Graham.
Graham, how you doing, man?
Cut the mic on, and let's talk here a little bit. I mean, folks know how they can get through, so they can call in, and if they do, then you can break away to do that. But right now, no, we want to sort of introduce Graham because it's a cool story of how you're here this summer. Running the shows.
Yeah, so I'm the intern at the radio station here. Jacob Goins, who's the host of On the Line. Prior to this, he was one of my high school buddies.
And you guys went to school together
up in Ohio.
Yeah, so, what's the town?
Cass Town, Miami East. We graduated about 85 kids in our graduating class. A tiny little country school.
Yeah, well, this is the South. My high school had 48.
in my senior class.
So I had a buddy.
You never know where you might go from a place like that.
When I lived on the West Coast, I had a buddy from Youngstown, and he said it was mostly sort of a Pittsburgh vibe to the area. Is it different part of Ohio's got a, Ohio's
opposite
big
corner.
Ohio's
yeah,
big
opposite
yeah,
corner.
Yeah,
so Youngstown's up by Cleveland Akron area.
Right.
I'm more like Cincinnati, Dayton, Cincinnati area.
Very cool.
Oh, you're down south then.
Yeah, so it's southwest almost. Mm-hmm. It's about an hour.
Bowling Green in the area, thereabouts.
Yeah. Bowling Green's right where I go to school.
Very
basically.
Cool.
I go to University of Findlay in Northwest.
I had never heard of the University of Findlay. How large a school is that?
So it's a D2 private school. Mm-hmm. It's not huge. It's 2,500.
Okay.
Maybe. So it's not.
That's not tiny.
Super tiny,
no.
But it's not huge. But it's a small campus. But swimming would probably be our best sport. Swimming and women's golf
say wrestling since you're a wrestler.
Well, our wrestling team's not bad. We won our conference. We had two national qualifiers. Me being one.
Well, then that's pretty
cool.
Good.
What's the league? What's the conference?
It's the GMAC.
Okay.
Great Midwest Athletic Conference.
Love it. Okay.
I believe. So Jacob, my buddy, it was a joke. I needed a summer internship, and I was like, hey, wouldn't it be cool if I just moved in with you for the summer and worked for you? And somehow we made it work, so I've been down here a few weeks.
That's a great story and a great way to spend the summer. So you're going to be graduating like fall? Or
So I have one more year left.
Okay.
So I'm using my, I don't know if it was this show or the on the line, they were talking about the COVID year or whatever. So I'm a sixth year college, but the wrestling coach and me. Well,
some of us took every bit of that and they didn't have COVID as an excuse.
Yeah, well, we were able to make it work. So I'm coming back for year six.
It's only a summer thing, but I will give you some radio advice here. You don't want your boss to be your landlord, usually in this business, right? You want to keep that a little bit.
Long term, you don't. You well, don't
too much
it.
Leverage.
That's
too much
fair.
Leverage for the upstairs office. And
take it. Take it. Yes, definitely take that piece.
Bill's heard these offers before.
Oh, yeah.
So he
I had a couple of offers, and it's like, no thanks.
But it's great to have you. You're doing a great job.
No, that's cool. So you guys have known each other. You sort of grew up together and everything, and here you are. It's like, here's how I spent my summer vacation, getting an internship, working here at the with the Auburn Network. That's really cool.
Yep. Well, I appreciate it. Excited to be here. I may pop on for the next week, especially with Drew being gone. I'll probably be here. The majority of the time, like I said, as the intern, I kind of, I don't want to do
that. You're at the beck and call.
Which is fine. It's been cool.
You got any college or pro teams you follow really closely? Any sports, any schools?
Yeah, so Cincinnati would be my biggest. Okay. The Bengals.
I think I'm a Burrow guy. I'm sort of an NFL free agent fan. I find myself rooting for stars or just my fantasy quarterback that season. But I really want to see this thing work with Joe Burrow. And the Bengals haven't gotten to enjoy much success. So, I think I'm a Joe Burrow bandwagon fan for the rest of at least for the rest of his prime.
Well, I have to wear my jersey one day. That's the only sports jersey I brought down here with me, so I have to bring that in, wear that one day when I come in. But then other than that, I dare say it on Auburn radio, but I'm an Ohio State fan. And
oh, that's okay. Jacob, it could be worse.
Jacob like half throws up in his mouth whenever I say it. But
I thought you guys, I thought you guys had Georgia. I mean, right? Like I thought there was a moment in that game where I was like, okay, like I think you guys are gonna be able to pull this off, and it didn't happen. But I really thought there was like that as close as anybody came all season. I mean, really and truly to beating Georgia was Ohio State in that playoff game.
Oh yeah, absolutely. And Auburn, I root for Auburn because I've been down here almost every year. I've come down for a game. I was here for the LSU game last year.
Cool. Because of Jacob?
Yep, 2019 I was here for the Iron Bowl when Auburn beat Alabama.
Wow.
That was actually my first time ever in Auburn, and I was here the weekend. We went to the game, sat on the 50-yard line, rushed the field. It was a very, very cool experience. So that was part of the reason I wanted to come down here because I had been down here for three or four-day stints, but to be able to enjoy the summer and kind of see everything that goes on in a big school town versus
it's a quieter. I mean, the difference between Auburn in June and July versus when the students are back in full force,
night and day.
It really is. But it's still. I mean,
enjoy the ability to get around and park.
Are you a combat sports guy as a wrestling fan? I would think maybe. Are you a fan of do you follow the MMA or boxing or pro wrestling or anything like that?
My little brothers love WWE and I watched it growing up because it was the WWE. Yeah. So it was cool. And there's actually a decent wrestling following of Brock Lesnar, some of those dudes, Kurt
right
Angle,
on,
that
yeah.
are in
yeah.
there. But I watch the UFC a decent amount. I wouldn't say I'm super deep into
big,
it.
Big events, right? It's sort of a...
I watch it when it's the pay-per-views, I get on, and sometimes I even pay for it, because like I said, Bo Nickel wrestled at Penn State. He's coming up through the ranks.
Yeah.
I actually have got to not work out with him. He's a big dude. I'm a little guy, but I got to train at the Olympic Training Center quite a bit. My first 3 years of college, I actually went to the Air Force Academy. in Colorado Springs, which is right by the Olympic Training Center. So I got to be around the best American wrestlers, you know, world champs, Olympic champs. I got to train alongside some of those guys.
Yeah.
So guys like Bo Nickel and even Adesanya wrestled in Division II, if you didn't know that. He was a Division II national champ who – So I root for all the wrestlers, so I don't follow it a bunch, but enough that I know.
Sure, yeah, no, some pretty, yeah, I figure that's why I asked, some pretty mainstream, you know, wrestlers, and it's a big part of the foundation. Oh, you were at the Air Force Academy for a little while, too. That's cool.
I did 3 years out there. I did the prep school and then 2 at the academy, kind of realized, you know, the military. It was cool. I enjoyed it. I would never talk bad about them, but wasn't my cup of tea, so I decided to move back home and do that instead. But
Dan won't hold that against you much.
My little brother was there 17 to 21 and graduated in 21 from the academy. And then my dad's class of 75 from the academy. And he's his birthday's tomorrow, by the way. So
that's great. Happy birthday.
A milestone birthday. I won't mention. People can do the math themselves on which one it could be. But he graduated class of 75. From the Air Force Academy. He retired from the Air Force in 2011.
Okay. Well, we may have crossed paths. And then me and your brother, 21, I was out there. Class of 20 and 21 were the two, my freshman, sophomore year there. So I may have even seen him or talked to him.
You might have banged into my brother one or two times there.
Did he play a sport or was he just?
He would have been doing, I think by his senior year, he was on the forensics team for a little while and was also running, I guess it's like the club cross country or the club track.
Okay, cool.
And maybe did some tennis too. I forget, but it's we'll talk about that more during the break.
I'm wondering. All right, so a couple of things. What weight do you wrestle at?
So I wrestle 125 pounds, which is the smallest in college. So
it used to be 118.
They used to have 118. Yeah, my college coach was a 118 pounder at Penn State. But 125 has been the smallest weight for a while. Unfortunately, that's what I wrestle. I would like to go 133, but.
So how much trouble do you have making weight?
The first time, you know, coming back from summer, it's a little tough. But, you know, once I get down there and, you know, once season starts, you start, you know, school, you start eating right, you start doing some of those things, you get better in your training regimen, stuff like that. It takes care of itself. But being the old guy and parentheses
being the
6-year guy, it would kind of be nice to maybe take a year where I focus a little less on the making weight and a little more on the having a little bit of fun and competing aspect of it. But we'll see. We'll see when.
Are there dudes still making brutal cuts at like the D2 level for weight? I would tell me, because that's one thing. I mean, the college wrestler lifestyle is.
Guys I knew, yeah. I mean, good friend who normally weighed 160 was, you know, making 142.
I mostly heard stories because I didn't go somewhere that had varsity. I didn't go somewhere that had varsity wrestling. But no, I've heard, you know, the cuts.
Oh yeah,
the cuts some dudes, you know, try to make.
I'm probably about 45 right now, and I'll be a 25 pounder.
Mm-hmm.
So the only difference between D1 and D2, just real quick, I know clearly wrestling isn't as big down here.
No, it's it was huge.
It was really popular.
When I wish
here.
It was, because I would have loved to go to school down here. The, you know, Missouri has wrestling, and they're actually good.
Right.
They finished third in the country. If you didn't know, Missouri has a very great wrestling team.
Some of the followings in the North, I think of non, like we were talking about with Jason, you know, non-football or men's basketball, like some of the followings that programs have or that state, you know, the Pride States have in things like the wrestling programs, where I think it's Nebraska's going to do, this isn't wrestling related, Nebraska's going to do a volleyball game in the football stadium this fall and put like 100,000 people there for a women's volleyball game and I guess put it on Jumbotrons
that
or whatever.
That makes sense because their team is there.
Yeah, and they've got, you know, their sports like that have these followings regionally that would blow people away. And I think wrestling in places like Pennsylvania, Iowa.
High school wrestling is very popular in this state.
When, like I said, I've got to find that out a little bit. You know, being down here a few weeks, I've reached out and I've got to speak with some of the guys down here. But just in general, I think it's the depth thing. I think, you know, the state champs in Alabama are tough and they're going to college and they're doing things. But, you know, it's the guys that are getting eighth at state and Ohio. You know,
the quality because of the depth of competition.
Yeah,
you're right.
But the only difference between D1 and D2 is honestly consistency. As a guy that I did 3 years Division I and now I'm at Division II is – there's a lot of D2s that could beat a D1 guy, but could they beat 2, 3, 4 in a row? Can they wrestle at their best? Or just, it's like football. Can you play at your best every single week? It just doesn't work that way. And the D1 guys have a little more consistency of being able to find that highest gear level day in and day out.
That's cool. So that's Graham, folks. He's running the board here today. He'll be answering the phone. Call in. You can chat with him a little bit and then spend a little time with us. We'd love for you to join in. We need to get to our first break here in hour number 2 on the Wednesday Drive.
Let's get back to the drive. The Drive with Bill Cameron and Dan Peck on ESPN 106.7 and online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502 or email The Drive at ESPNAU.com.
Welcome back into The Drive, 22 minutes after 5 o'clock here on this Wednesday afternoon with Bill and Dan. Graham at the controls. Love for you to join in. Anything you want to talk about sports-wise, 334-321-1390. All right, one of the things, again, yeah, I asked Jason before he left, did he think that Auburn would offer a basketball prospect who was in over the last few days? Jason wrote this story last night about Adarren Scott, a 6'9 forward from Navarro Junior College in Texas, who started 28 games this past year as a sophomore. He's originally from Dallas Carter High School and averaged 9.3 points and 6.8 rebounds a game, scoring in double figures 15 times last year. Played 30 games as a freshman, averaging 6.4 points, 4.8 rebounds. That's sort of, you know, we've talked about if there were one other thing that Bruce Pearl would be looking for, it could be some help in the front court because you've got Jani Broom, who should, I mean, I wonder, I mean, wouldn't he be projected as your top, for probably the top rebounder in the league? We'll see what happens at Ole Miss with their 2 7-footers now. But they got 2 7-footers fighting over the ball. Jani was second in the SEC in rebounding last year to Oscar Tshiebwe, who is not coming back.
Right. So, I think Florida landed a big, too, yeah, right? Auburn was after somebody in Castleton, you know, sort of the Castleton replacement.
Yep.
So
but he'll be one of the top rebounders in the league. But who else can you count on to rebound? So, I mean, that's why Auburn could use somebody else if Bruce decides to use that scholarship.
Portal right now for Auburn is a double-edged sword because there are some players you look at in the portal and you say, man, you'd love to have them on your roster, but Auburn can't really sell playing time to any of the flashier names in the portal. Speaking of Florida, they just landed I'm going to go check out – I don't know if I've talked to you about this, Bill, but one of the most connected people in the basketball transfer portal world now – and this is a sign of the times.
All right.
Is a Twitter account named Trilly Donovan.
Yeah, yeah.
I've seen some reports from that.
It's a
silly name, and I think it's a guy posting anonymously. I believe
you're right.
I don't believe Trilly Donovan's actual identity is a matter
of public record. No, but I've noticed he's been right quite a few times.
No, he's been
or
out
she,
there.
I mean, whoever
they are.
And that account has been.
But this is
maybe multiple people. You never know.
This is Borzello reporting, and Borzello's ESPN.com,
right.
Jeff Borzello, who's also a basketball insider. Zion Pullen is a basketball player from UC Riverside. He was considered by most of the recruiting services to be the best guard remaining in the transfer portal now. First team all Big West last season. He was deciding between Florida and LSU earlier today, and he had 18 points, 4 rebounds, and 4 assists last year in the Big West. He is headed to Gainesville, so a nice pickup for a coach who's familiar with the West Coast. You know, Todd Golden out there, when he was at San Francisco.
Oh yeah,
that's not the Big West, but that's they're in the West Coast Conference with Gonzaga. But still, he was he'd be familiar with some of the top mid major players on the West Coast, and now he's got one of them following him to Gainesville.
It is crazy with the portal. I mean, you really. You have no idea what to expect from a roster, from anybody's roster, from year to year. I mean, it is just
college basketball at the
turnover.
More than football, college basketball has become a year to year. Reshuffle the deck at the end of the season.
What's Kentucky going to do? Are they still at? I think Kentucky's still at 7 scholarships.
I mean, and 4 of those 7 are 4 of the top 11 freshmen.
Yeah, that's right.
in the country,
the top freshman class. That's been signed for a while, but I mean, still 5 of their 7 are freshmen. They only have 7 players on scholarship, and 5 of them are freshmen.
There are a couple of programs: Kentucky with the 4 freshmen. I think UConn with what they bring back from last year. FAU bringing back the entire team from a successful program last year that went all the way to the Final Four. I would add USC to that list as far as teams where there's going to be outsized attention. Bronny James is you know, the most as famous a high school player to come to college basketball maybe ever. I mean, you think about like his name. The name recognition of Bronny James at this point in his career. Granted, a lot of it's because his father is LeBron James, but still, I mean, Bronny James.
It's not a small part of that. It's not just, and by the way.
But there's also, and I always forget the young man's name, but the number one player in the class of 2023, the high schooler that Auburn was in on, who is also going to USC. And Dennis Rodman's son is also going. DJ Rodman, the Washington State player. There's going to be – I was reading a story about how at USC they're drastically revamping how they handle VIP guests and courtside seating, and they're hiring new security. Like, all of the things that, you know, if your coach went out and signed the Beatles, you know, and they were going to be your basketball coach, you know, they were going to be your basketball team now, that's what USC's having to do, and they're having to do it because Isaiah Collier – by the way, Auburn was in on him for a little while. Remember, Bill?
Yeah.
Isaiah Collier was the top ranked player from. I know Ron Holland, after Ron Holland reclassified, right, and sort of that's why he jumped in. But for a long time, Isaiah Collier was the top player, and he's headed to USC as well, along with and they're going to come to Auburn, right? Isn't that the expectation? Is that one of the games? I think that was the home and home return visit.
I think you're right.
I think there's the expectation that USC's coming to Auburn at some point this year when they revealed the schedule. So
yeah, I was just looking through the top CBS's top what portal movers.
What a scene that could be, Bill, if the USC Trojans come to Auburn early in the season next year as part of their out of conference schedule, and there would be there's already outsized interest no matter where they go, but yeah, that could be something to watch for this year.
334-321-1390. We'll get to our bottom of the hour break. Plenty of time for you to join in the final half hour here on the Wednesday Drive.
You're live on The Drive. The Drive with Bill Cameron and Dan Peck on ESPN 106.7. And online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502. Or email us at thedrive@ESPNAU.com.
Welcome back into The Drive. Final 25 minutes here on this Wednesday with Bill and Dan. Graham at the controls. Yeah, I'd love for you to join in. Anything you want to talk about sports-wise.
We got Game 3 of the NBA Finals tonight. I know that's not...
That is right. Tied at one.
And we will be carrying Game 3 on ESPN Radio. ESPN Radio's coverage of Game 3. They do a great job covering the game live. So if you want to check out the radio call tonight of the game, it's going to be 7:30 Central on ABC. We'll have Nuggets and Heat tied 1-1 after the Heat won Game 2 after... Really an underwhelming performance in Game 1
that had people
thinking this was going to be a short, uneventful series. Now, all of a sudden, the Denver Nuggets have to find a way to win a game in Miami in order to reclaim home court advantage and avoid digging themselves into something of a hole.
I mean, and I think they will.
I think they're probably – I mean, if Miami wins tonight, Game 4 becomes a swing game in the series – and I guess it is either way, because whoever wins tonight has the chance to put Game 4 in, has the chance to make Game 4 seemingly insurmountable. So, yeah, big game tonight could very well decide. I know there's a stat they've thrown out there about when the series is 1-1, the team that wins Game 3 wins a very healthy share of the overall finals in history with the model they've got. So, yeah, I would think it's an opportunity for the Heat. But it's also a chance for the Nuggets to show that they're the better team.
Yeah, one more thing on that I saw an interesting stat line as well, and especially going into this where we're at in the finals. When Jokic drops 40 points, they're 0-4 in the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that kind of shows you the role that the Joker plays on this team. Like, in Game 1, he had 10 assists in the first half. You know, and then Game 2, he only had, I believe, 8 assists total with 40 points and a loss.
Yeah, I mean,
yeah, so it needs to go through him more than just to him.
Yeah, I mean, I, and the concern there would be, like, you don't want to just say, well, let him score, because the more he scores, the less likely it is that he wins. But
yeah, I don't know that that would be the best defensive philosophy.
But I think the thinking would be that when he has to take on a more active role in scoring, it limits his ability to do all of the other things on both ends of the floor that make him as effective as he is when he has to exert as much energy as the actual scorer. You know, when he can facilitate and when he can sort of decoy for his teammates and when he can hit open shots that way, the other Nuggets are a lot more dangerous when you focus on them and make Jokic have to play a little bit more straight up. It's tougher. So, you know, we were just Eric Spoelstra, who is, his name came up earlier today in the office, Bill. Eric Spoelstra looking for another championship with the Miami Heat, a guy who's coming up on 20 years with the Heat as the head coach.
Go ahead and mention how his name came up in conversation today, because Dan's reading a book that was about the
So did you watch the Lakers?
Loyola Marymount.
Did you watch the Lakers show, the HBO one?
I have not watched it yet.
So Jason Segel plays the guy that I'm talking about, Paul Westhead.
I couldn't think of Westhead's name. I could see him, you know, but I couldn't think of his name.
Jason Segel plays him. He was an assistant for the Lakers initially in the Showtime era when they hired Jack McKinney. And then Jack McKinney has the bike accident, and Paul Westhead takes over as the head coach. They win the championship in his first year at the helm. His relationship with Magic eventually sours, and he goes to college basketball. Runs his speed system at college basketball up the floor, LMU.
Loyola Marymount.
With Bo Kimble and Hank Gathers, and runs a system that scored a lot of points, had a lot of famous games.
Man, it helped when he had a couple of 6'8 guys who could shoot like those guys.
Could shoot and could rebound. I think Hank Gathers led the country in scoring and rebounding one season. But there's
when you put up 20 more shots than anybody else does.
That's right. And
if
you're familiar with the story, you know that tragically Hank Gathers had a heart issue and he passed away after collapsing in the middle of a game in the West Coast Conference tournament.
Was that the one where he was at the free throw line, or was that?
No, he throws.
That was the first time.
I believe the first time he had a scare during a UC Santa Barbara conference game earlier during the game and during his final game. He throws down a dunk, and he's jogging back up
That's
the court.
Right. That's right.
And sort of stops, you know, has like a bit of a jolt.
Stumble a little.
Yeah, and then collapses, and it was a heart issue, and he died right there on the court. That's a very famous event
Absolutely.
In college basketball. They go on a bit of a run in the NCAA tournament afterward, I think to the Elite Eight or so, without him, and it's a tremendously inspiring thing. ESPN did a 30 for 30 about it that you can check out.
Right.
What I was unaware of was that I knew the game was against the University of Portland. Eric Spoelstra was guarding Hank Gathers.
It's like the player closest to him.
Eric Spoelstra was 6 feet away.
I did not realize that until you told me
on
that
the
today.
Other team when Hank Gathers collapsed and died on a college basketball court during the conference tournament in say the 89 or 90, but it's right at the turn of the decade. But among the incredible incredible basketball life of Eric Spoelstra is that he's in close proximity to that tragedy, I was surprised to see his name casually tossed out there in Westhead's book, which has been. I also was unaware that they played Shaq and Chris Jackson.
I remembered that one.
What
was it? You said the final was like 148-141.
Yeah, in overtime they had to they went.
They played a lot of games like that. A lot of games like that. They averaged over 130.
And we were saying because they wanted both the TV network wanted LMU and LSU on television because LSU had Shaq and LMU had this high scoring offense. They scheduled it in the middle of conference play.
Which is insane.
So LMU played a game in California on Thursday night, flew to Baton Rouge, played LSU on Saturday afternoon, got on a plane after the game, and flew back to California and played a conference game on Sunday. So they played three games in 4 days, scored 140 points, I think, in all three of them. And the middle one was a game on the East Coast against Shaq, where they went to overtime and almost won. It's just, and this is all because Eric Spoelstra's coaching the Miami Heat in the finals that his name came up. But there's some wild old stories in college basketball when we usually hear one or two when we get to talk to a coach, right?
That's true. It's a shame. Yeah, you know, we need to catch up with Sonny.
Might have to call Sonny Smith and talk to him, who might have had a run in or two with Westhead in their interactions.
I mean, Sonny was at Sonny. Wasn't he at Long Beach?
Now they beat Westhead's LMU team eliminates Alabama in the Sweet 16 of that. That's Wimp Sanderson's Alabama team that faced that. That was the LMU team in the NCAA tournament without Hank Gathers. Beats Michigan and
Pepperdine is where Sonny meets, was at Pepperdine.
Then he would have been right up the coast. But so LMU beats Michigan, defending national champion Michigan in the round of 32 to get to the Sweet 16. Wimp Sanderson, who the way Westhead describes it in the book, Wimp Sanderson's idea was we're gonna take every second off we've got the ball.
I could have talked about, because I go on Wimp's show every Wednesday. This morning I was on with Wimp and his son Barry. That would be something that'd probably get Wimp going.
I'll let you read Westhead's chapter.
Oh, that's cool. I'll mention that to him next week when I spend a little time with him.
Because that was the last game they won in the tournament, was they beat Alabama in the Sweet 16 to get to the Elite
Eight. All right, how's this for a segue? Now segue into, and Wimp this morning.
Yeah, what did he say?
He wanted to talk about NIL, mm-hmm. and that it's we were talking about the fact that Nick Saban and Greg Sankey are up in Washington, and he said the same thing that most of us feel. It's like way too late to really expect anything to be done about this, at least right now. He can understand the way coaches feel. But, I mean, it's funny because, a lot of Auburn people roll their eyes at anything coming from anyone in Tuscaloosa. But, I mean, Wimp talking about it's great to be able for the players to be able to get money that they deserve to get. But he was talking the same thing that we were talking about yesterday, that it's all about collectives and inducements now. It's not about endorsements. He goes, they ought to change it from NIL – because it's not about your name, your image, your likeness. It's about how much do we have to be able to get you to come play for us.
And like we were saying yesterday with Jake Crane, like to me, the difference between an athlete appearing in a commercial for and if you want to differentiate between local commercials,
nice plug yesterday.
Well, if you want to differentiate between local commercials and national commercials, that's different too. Like if you want to say like, the difference between a Bryce Young or a Suni Lee appearing in a national advertising campaign for a beverage,
right?
The difference between that and a guy being promised an amount of money to choose a certain school, I mean, it feels like that's not close to the same thing.
Oh, it's not at all what had been in mind,
I don't know how you, like I said, yeah, I don't know how you land
how
that
do you
plane.
Come back and reel some of it in? How do you put limits? How do you, have any?
And I have no idea as far as if federal laws would then if the federal government attempted, if something made its way through the House and the Senate and to the president's desk and got signed into law, because I remember Schoolhouse Rock, Bill. I know how a bill becomes a law. If that all happened, I don't know if it would fly in the face of state laws and immediately end up in court. Because it would, Like
I've got a
They supersede everything.
They could.
They would. The
possibility would be there that there could be legal action. But I think for a lot of states, they'd be happy
to take their law off the books.
I think they would. I mean, if they felt like everybody at least had an even chance,
because the states have mostly gotten what they wanted in theory, right? Well, you're looking for folks who wanted. For folks who wanted the landscape of college athletics to change, and for athletes to be able to legally earn money rather than have to take bags of McDonald's bags, what was it? Right,
yeah, like, sure was. That's like, what it was supposedly.
Yeah,
McDonald's bags from Jeremy.
So to accept money, in ways that you can report on your taxes, like legal ways that don't impact your eligibility, you've gotten that. Like, mm-hmm. if that was what you set out to do, to pressure the NCAA into changing that and allowing it, like, mission accomplished. I wonder now if there are limitations that could find its way into, if the federal government attempted to have a cap on earnings or anything like that. Like, you could see how those things would end up in a court of law.
Absolutely.
But no, I
mean,
agree.
Just think about this.
You would think that a superset, superseding the state laws would be, for the most part, like, it would be welcome. You're right, but because they've gotten what they wanted.
And just think, this really, it started because of video games and players going, that's me. I ought to get something from this. If they had just done that, if they'd been able to do something like that back then. But, I mean, you look at so many things and go, well, if we'd only, I mean, if there'd been some forethought, but the NCAA was, no, it's not going to be, they had to stick with the amateurism and players can't get anything until they turn professional. And now we have what we have.
Right. Current and former athletes seeing themselves in the EA Sports games was one of the things that ignited this. The unionization attempts, I think, you know, set the course for this with different schools that attempted to maybe find legitimacy as, compensated athletes that way. But no, it was and then I even understood from a state standpoint, once another state in your conference passes a law that allows it.
And you can't compete anywhere near an even basis.
Not even in your conference. Because if it's Florida or if it's Texas, right, if California passes a law that seemingly gives California schools a leg up in college athletics over your schools, then you're gonna pass a law that maybe...
Usually, although we're still, we're still in this state in baseball, competing with bordering
states
that have lotteries.
But I still think that...
I know, but I mean, it's something where you can at least go, oh, that's sort of like that.
I'll tell you what, if a lack of a lottery was holding them back in football...
Oh, then there'd be a lottery.
I think there'd be a lottery.
You're right.
I think there'd be a lottery. No, it's that...
It would win overwhelmingly.
Yeah, and I wonder, too, how many people are truly aware of the connection between a lottery and non-revenue sports being able to compete more thoroughly,
doesn't matter to a lot of people.
Yeah, and I think for some folks, it's not a priority or whatever. And there are other arguments against lotteries as well. But that's I would think that part of the reason you saw some of the states take the lead in NIL, right, Bill, was they don't want other states to get an advantage.
That's right.
Once Florida passed a law, once California passed a law, once Texas passed a law, you got to keep up with the Joneses. You know, it's an arms race.
What are the states? Is Texas one of them? I know Arkansas and Missouri, I believe, are.
We're talking about keeping out the investigators?
No, yeah, yes. That have pretty much said, the NCAA doesn't have any say-so.
Conferences don't have – they even said – which to me, like, you can't be in the conference.
How can you be in a conference when you say the conference has no say-so
when the state passes a law saying the conference can't enforce its rules within the border of the state, the conference has to then say, guess what? Like,
you're out.
Yeah, like, we're keeping your share of the money, and we're splitting it evenly among all the other schools.
That's right. That's a bigger share for everybody else.
Yeah, you can't do that. That's great. I wonder if that will, keep any of those from becoming laws themselves, right? Because I don't know if they've been, like, some of those are still.
Well, there are a few other states that are watching, so there are plenty of schools that are watching these states and saying, is this going to hold up?
Yeah, some of those are still on the.
We've got to do something.
Some of those are still on the governor's desk, right? So
So Nick Saban apparently spoke with the AP a little bit yesterday, the Associated Press, about their visit to Washington, and said that he said, "quote I think that the whole idea is we want to provide information based on our experience, so that maybe people that are involved in the House and Senate both sort of have an idea of what the issues really are and how it can impact and affect college football in the future." He said, "I don't know exactly what the answer is, but I think if we can get more people aware of what the issues are for them to have input on how we can sort of create a model that would help create some competitive balance." Gracious, that's a long sentence, Nick. "But still give people opportunities to use their name, image, and likeness to earn, I think, will be a good thing." That whole paragraph was one sentence from Nick Saban. But so, I mean, what it is, they're not. They know this is not going to. All right, they're going to come back, and the legislation will be being pushed forward. They just want more people to be aware that, hey, this is a big deal. This is something that nobody's really sure exactly how they're going to be able to corral it, control it, but it can't continue at this pace. That's the thing. There are going to be ceilings reached before too long for different schools, different conferences, that it just things can't continue to escalate the way they have. We'll get to our final break. Still time for you to join in here on the Wednesday Drive.
The Drive continues. The Drive with Bill Cameron and Dan Peck on ESPN 106.7. Online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502. Or email The Drive at ESPNAU.com.
Welcome back into The Drive. Final couple of minutes here on this Wednesday afternoon. Again, our thanks to Jason Caldwell for being with us in hour number one. And we'll update you next week as to whether or not he will be in. We'll see how things go for him with jury duty.
I'll tell you, yeah, we getting into July, and I know he'll be there for media days too, but it gets a little bit tougher to nail down Jason Caldwell.
Oh, yes.
Not I mean, just because of jury duty.
He is out scouting.
Yeah.
Recruits as well,
but we're in the double digits, right? We're under 100 days from the
it's
from the
84 days from Saturday, so that's what 87 days.
Yeah, so we're coming up on
12 weeks
Auburn season opener, and what media day is just a little more than a month away.
What are the dates again of media days?
It's the 17th through the 20th of July up in
Nashville. Well, you're going. You and Jacob
there.
Are going. I got a little email today, since we were up in Nashville for a convention a month or so ago. Oh yeah, there are a couple of pretty good things.
Yeah, a couple promos for me
that are going
all
on.
Right.
Yeah, so it's like, oh, you'll want to do this, and I thought they're actually doing this during the SEC media days. So yeah, I'll pass those
like
along
to
you.
Like to hear that. No, we had a great time last year, and I think it really works to have. I think having somebody back in the studio. Isn't the worst thing in the world, though, to sort of communicate with production and between.
Yeah, I'm hanging here.
Yeah, no, I think it works, and I think Carter's going to stay here too. So we're going to kind of have the same format and do 4 hours live. Max Roundtable will be in the house too. So that never too early to promote the fact that 4 days of SEC Media Days next month, we're going to have 7 hours of coverage per day for all 4 days with the Max Roundtable on the line and The Drive. You're not going to want to miss any of that.
We're out of time here on the Wednesday edition of The Drive. No Ferg tomorrow.
No, Justin Ferguson is globetrotting right now. He is. He could be back next week, I think. But he'll have a lot of adventures from his exotic locations to tell us about.
All right, so Dan and I should be back. Somebody will be running the show if one of us isn't. So hopefully we'll talk to you then. But that's going to do it for the Wednesday Drive. Have a good one, everybody. We are out of here.